Yes, believe it or not, fascinating pages from the radio sketchbook of that inveterate investigator of intriguing, inspiring, intense, interesting, informative items. And here he is in person, Bob Ripley.
Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to my Believe It or Not radio auditorium.
Bob, suppose we start right off with today's Believe It or Not quiz question.
Right you are, Greg Abbott. Now, I'm going to invite our listeners to let their gray matter grapple with this.
Right.
The fact that the early pilgrims didn't drink any milk was a contributing factor in our high death rate. Now, why do you suppose they didn't drink milk?
Why didn't the pilgrims drink any milk? Well, that stops me. What's the answer?
Well, I'll tell our listeners the answer at the close of today's program.
Okay. And now suppose you tell us where you're taking us for your Believe It or Not dramatic sketch today.
To the place where some of the weirdest Believe It or Nots in the world are accepted as everyday occurrences, the mysterious land of India. Hmm. For example, Greg, in India there's a whole sect of people known as the ever-standing men. Some of these men have been standing up for 30 years without ever once sitting or lying down.
Hmm.
Then they are the human inchworms.
Human inchworms?
Yes. The human inchworms are a sect of religious fanatics who travel thousands of miles by inching along on their bellies like worms. I've seen them strung out along the road for miles as they traveled on a religious pilgrimage to the holy city of Benares.
Holy smokes!
And India is also the land of the living dead, Greg.
Living dead?
Yes. These people are known to have been actually buried 6 feet deep in the earth for as long as 40 days without food, air, or water, and yet they have emerged alive. I've seen them myself.
Well, after that, I can't wait to hear today's sketch. What's it about?
Well, it concerns perhaps the most expensive chicken ever bought. I'll present my sketch in exactly 60 seconds, but first, here's a man with a message.
The beginning of the Christmas vacation during the coming week marks the first major milestone in the current school year, and is as good a time as any to take stock of the educational situation in your own hometown. You and I, of children in school, know how bad things were allowed to get during and just after the war. We found many of our school buildings in dilapidated condition, classrooms overcrowded, well-trained teachers all but impossible to find. We now know that we can't afford to let such things happen again. Our children will one day be controlling the destinies of the country, and they deserve the finest education that the community and state can afford to give them. Our teachers, who play such an important role in molding their attitudes and ways of thought, need and deserve recognition as experts in their profession and truly valuable members of the community. The future of your children's schooling depends on you, taking an active interest in educational matters in your own hometown and cooperating at all times with those civic groups which seek better and broader education for democracy for all. And now, back to Bob Ripley's Believe It or Not radio auditorium.
Now let me sketch the scene for today's Believe It or Not drama. The place is the crowded city of Lucknow, India. In his office at the newly built university sits Sir Claude Martin, the president of the college. He hears a knock on his door.
Come in. Oh, Professor Singh, come in. What seems to be the trouble? You look worried.
Sir Claude, bad news. Very bad news.
Bad news with the university about to inherit £100,000? Nonsense.
Sir Claude, we shall not inherit no money.
What?
The relatives of Lord Brenner who left the money have broken his will in court. We shall not receive a penny.
But our mortgage, the Raj of Bengal has served notice he will foreclose. We were counting on that money. Well, we're in a fine kettle of fish, I must say.
What shall we do, Sir Claude? The Raj does not approve of low-caste Hindus receiving an education. He is most anxious to foreclose on the university.
Well, there must be some way we can convince him to give us more time. Perhaps a gift. What are his interests?
His only interests in life are tiger hunting and sports.
Well, it does look as if we're in for a difficult time. But don't give up hope. I'm going out for a walk, and I shall try to think of a way to sway this mighty Raj of Bengal. Yes, I must think of a way.
So, wrapped in his thoughts, Sir Claude wandered about the ancient city of Lucknow, unaware that it was growing late. Towards dusk, he suddenly realized that he was in a part of the city totally unfamiliar to him. As he turned into a small marketplace, a strange sound greeted his ears.
Good heavens, what in the world is going on here? You, boy!
Yes, Sahib?
What's going on over there?
Oh, it is a cockfight, Sahib.
A cockfight? What in the world is a cockfight?
You do not know? Two man chickens fight. It is like white men's boxing fight, only roosters instead of men. You like to see it, perhaps?
Yes, I should.
My name is Ali. Come, I bet 2 rupees on Black Champion. That rooster there. Hmm? Black Champion belonged to Raj of Bengal.
Raj of Bengal, eh?
The Raj have many fighting cocks, but Black Champion never defeated. See? He fights now.
He's a ferocious looking fellow. Where is the Raj?
Oh, Raj never watch fight. Fight like this, only for training. Raj watch championship.
My word. Look at those feathers fly. Look, the other bird is down. What an exciting sport. I'd almost like to try it myself.
Ali know where is champion fighting cock for sale, Sahib?
Oh?
He is at Naka's chicken market. There Naka's trained him himself. It is not far from here, Sahib.
Could you take me there, Ali? I'll pay you.
Oh, follow, please, Sahib. This way. Come with me. There Naka's. There Naka's.
Salute, Ali. What do you here? If you come to buy a chicken on credit, I have not time to waste on thieves like you.
No, Bernakas. I bring white effendi customer.
Oh. I'm Sir Claude Martin, Bernakas.
Sir Claude wishes to buy a fighting rooster to fight against the Black Champion of the Raj.
Fighting rooster? But I have no...
You will pay well, Bernakas.
Oh? I see. Yes, I do happen to have a most excellent fighter. Here he is in this box.
You keep him in the same box with the other chickens? Isn't that dangerous?
Oh, no, no. The Red Champion is very gentle until he gets into a fighting pit. I trained him myself, Effendi, and I hate to part with him. He is like a son to me. However, for 50 rupees...
50 rupees? I'll give you 20 and not a rupee more.
For a champion rooster, 20 rupees? Well, look, even Red Champion has heard you and is insulted. See how his comb droops.
25.
Sir Claude, even if this were an ordinary soup chicken, you could not have him for 25. 32 rupees, eh, Sahib?
Very well, Bernakas. If he can't fight, at least I can take him home and cook him.
And here is your rooster, Sir Claude. I will include his basket free of charge.
Is he in good fighting trim now?
Oh, the best, Effendi.
Good. I'm going to take him back and challenge the Raj of Bengal's champion this very moment.
The Raj of Bengal? Well, alaikum, Sir Claude. May the bearded one smile upon you.
Thank you, Bernakas.
Oh, Ali, what a swindle we have just perpetrated. To think I sold an ordinary soup chicken for 32 rupees.
With my help, Bernakas. Remember, it was I who brought the effendi here.
You did well, Ali. Here are 5 rupees. And now let us go quickly.
Go? Where?
To watch the Red Champion fight the Black Champion. We will bet on the Black Champion and we will double our profit. Come.
Ho, ho, here approaches an effendi, and he brings with him a rooster, or at least it looks like a rooster.
This bird, my friend, happens to be a champion fighting cock.
So, perhaps the sahib would care to challenge the Black Champion of the Raj of Bengal to a match.
That is precisely what I wish to do. Whom do I see?
I am the trainer of the Black Champion, sahib. Prepare your rooster.
My rooster is ready.
You wish to fight him? Without steel spurs?
Spurs? Oh, I hadn't noticed they wore them.
I will loan you a pair in the name of my master, the Raj of Bengal.
Thank you.
Here, hold your rooster while I strap these on. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you would care to place a small bet on your bird, effendi?
Well, I had intended to fight him once or twice before I bet, but I'll give you 20 pounds.
20 pounds is a great deal of money. However, the Raj accepts any wager. 20 pounds it is. Now, step back while I put the birds into the pit.
Very well.
Sound the gong!
The red rooster has beaten the black champion!
By Jove, he's won! My red rooster has won! He's killed the black champion!
Yes, Sir Claude!
It's the Raj!
Raj of Bengal!
He has killed the black champion! Allow me to introduce myself, Sir Claude. I am the Raj of Bengal. I chanced to see the fight.
Then you saw my red champion kill your bird.
It's a great loss to me, Sir Claude. It's always been my boast that no one shall ever own a bird that defeated the black champion. How much will you take for this red champion of yours?
I'm sorry, Your Excellency. He is not for sale.
Everything, everyone is for sale. I'm a very wealthy man, Sir Claude. I will give you £2,000 for the red champion.
I have said he is not for sale.
$10,000.
No.
$50,000.
Your Excellency, you hold a £100,000 mortgage on the University of Lucknow, do you not?
That is true.
I will give you this red champion if you will turn over that mortgage.
£100,000. It's a great deal for a rooster.
But think, Your Excellency, the fighting champion of India.
Very well, Sir Claude. For the red champion, I will pay you £100,000.
Yes? Believe it or not, this amazing story is absolutely true. Asafu Dawla, the Maharaja Bengal, was an ordinary rooster, defeat his own champion, and paid Sir Claude Martin £100,000, or $500,000, for it. Moreover, he was so satisfied with the bird that a few months later he made Sir Claude the Prime Minister of Bengal. With the money he received, Sir Claude paid off the entire mortgage of the University of Lucknow, and today that university is called the Martinair University in honor of Sir Martin. He remained Prime Minister of Bengal for 14 years, and when he died, he left the colossal fortune of $10 million, which he had earned by his new hobby, the scientific breeding of fighting cocks. Believe it or not.
In exactly 60 seconds, Bob Ripley will be back with the answer to today's Believe It or Not quiz question. Meanwhile, here's an important Believe It or Not that concerns you.
Ever since the end of the war, the food crisis in Europe has been a critical one. The people of the continent simply aren't getting enough to eat. This winter, the food situation is more acute than ever because of catastrophic crop failures during the past year. We here in America are being asked to help, and we can help both as a nation and as individuals. As individuals, we can add to our Christmas shopping list one of the famous 21.5-pound care food packages for some family in any one of the 15 European countries served by the Cooperative for American Remittances to Europe. The contents of the care food package are sufficient to supplement the rations of a family of four over a period of an entire month. $10 sent to CARE, C-A-R-E, will guarantee immediate delivery of one of these food packages to a European family of your choice. You can ask that your package be sent to a Belgian coal miner, an Italian war orphan, a French widow with three children, or a needy Austrian postman. You'll receive a signed receipt upon delivery of your care food package in Europe. And now, for the answer to today's Believe It or Not quiz question.
All right. Now, let's see how many of our listeners were able to guess the answer to the question. Why didn't the early pilgrims drink milk?
Was it because the cows went on strike?
No, Greg. It was because there were no cows in America.
No cows?
That's right. When Columbus came over in 1492, there were no cows in the New World. And the pilgrims made the mistake of bringing none with them when they came over. And so their high death rate is due to that fact, believe it or not.
And I see it's time now for another Ripley farewell, Bob.
Right you are, Greg. When I witnessed the last cockfight I saw in India, it was in Jaipur. And on that occasion, an old faker blessed the fighting roosters in the traditional manner, and then he turned to the spectators to utter the colorful blessing, which I now pass on to you, our listeners. May your cups always be clean, and may nothing dim the luster of your beards.
Believe it or not. Tune in again tomorrow at this same time, ladies and gentlemen, when we'll be back with more pages from the radio sketchbook of Bob Ripley.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.